Yo, this is Rey Mysterio, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Booyaka 619.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 83. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners out there. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, man. It's the Thanksgiving episode.
I know right now you've got the table set. There's some cranberries and some turkey, maybe.
Potatoes. I'm ready, man.
It is 2015 has been a good year for not only professional wrestling but for another wrestling podcast. For those of you who may be listening right now, it's your first episode. Like I mentioned, this is episode number 83. You can go back and listen to all of our episodes and find out a little more about us by going to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Steve, that was my little plug for the show so far today. But I mentioned it. You know, it's time to give thanks. A lot has happened in the world of wrestling in 2015. Is there anything out there that you could tell us that you're thankful for?
Jonathan, thankful for wrestling. You know, first and foremost, thankful for a great co-host with you, Jonathan, for another wrestling podcast. I'm thankful for all the guests, the superstars, the men and women who have stopped by another wrestling podcast and have given us a chance over the year and a half now. We could say we've been over a year and a half now, and it's been great, Jonathan. The world of wrestling, you gotta love it. I'm thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for a lot of things, Jonathan, and you know, hey, It's still merely the beginning of the AWP revolution, but hey, I can give thanks for all that, Jonathan. It's been a great year for wrestling and for our show.
Absolutely, you know, I'm glad that you said all of that. I'm also thankful for those things, but also in maybe the WWE or TNA or just wrestling in general, what has been the thing that you are just the most thankful for, as far as, like, I'll say, like, Sheamus won the WWE Championship. Is that something you're thankful for? Like, let's get into some wrestling stuff here.
Well, Jonathan, all in all, I'm thankful for the WWE Network. It is definitely, you know, fueled more life into a lot of superstars who, you know, you probably don't remember. So where, I know, granted, not everything's WWE on there, or, you know, in the network, you get to watch everything from yesteryear. You don't need a VHS tape. You don't need to buy the DVD. You can go and watch it on an app. It's amazing. So I'm definitely thankful to be able to relive the history of this network.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that this year, for me, I'm most thankful for, in the world of wrestling, independent wrestling and NXT wrestling. Both of those things have really kind of, I think, gave some new life, as you were mentioning about the network, but also, you know, people are excited about wrestling again. I know that we've got a lot of people out there that talk about wrestling and say it's terrible and it's the worst it's ever been, but try going to some of these independent shows in your area. We're very fortunate. We live on the East Coast, so we get to go to all these great independent promotions. But obviously, if you've watched NXT, it's really lit a fire under not only the NXT competitors, but also the WWE competitors as well. So we've got some amazing pay-per-views so far. We've got some amazing talents that are hopefully going to get called up within the next year. And so, really, I'm thankful for those things thus far in 2015.
But Jonathan, I'm also thankful for our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have on Hector Guerrero of the world-renowned Guerreros. He'll be stopping in. He'll be talking to us a little bit about wrestling, about his career, and all that fun stuff. We'll have him here. And I guess, Jonathan, we're thankful for Hector Guerrero today, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the, like you said, most famous wrestling families out there, the Guerreros. And I'm going to say Hector probably doesn't get much credit for all that he's done in the world of wrestling, because most people only know him as the Gobbledygooker. And as amazing as that is in the world of wrestling, he's so much more. So I can't wait to get into that with him today and talk to him about how awesome his career was and what it must have been like to grow up a Guerrero.
Wow. Yeah, Jonathan, you know, all seriousness aside, it's Thanksgiving. We're technically having the Gobbledygooker on the show. Now, Hector, I know you're listening. You know, you've had an amazing career. But hey, you've also been one of the icons that have been forever living in our hearts, and that is the Gobbledygooker. So what better way to rehatch him into the world than on our show? But once again, you know, Hector will be joining us in a little bit. But Jonathan, you know, it is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's about giving thanks, being with your family. We've talked about a few families on this show before. But today, Jonathan, I think it's time we talk about the Guerreros, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a family that their legacy spans just decade after decade after decade. The Guerreros are a legendary Texas wrestling family, if you didn't know. The patriarch, the leader of the Guerrero family, Gory Guerrero, he actually debuted, now if you're listening to this, it may be hard to believe, but September 15th, 1937. Steve, that's how long the Guerreros have been at it. And there's a lot of confusion about which Guerrero belongs to who and all that. So hopefully we can kind of clear some of that up. But I want to talk about Gory for a second. That would have been Hector's father. So Gory actually played a crucial role in the creation and development of Lucha Libre in Mexico and Texas. So he was hardcore before hardcore was cool, and he was an accomplished ring general. A lot of people really talked about how great Gory was. Obviously won several championships in Mexico as well as a lot of other territorial titles back then. Say that three times fast. But
he's pretty much like the hierarchy of the Guerrero family, right? So yeah, you know, it's spawned from him, right?
Yeah, Gory was number one. He was the father, and he actually had a bunch of wrestling children. So we have Chavo Classic, or Chavo Sr., Mondo, Hector, and Eddie, which that's pretty much the Guerrero legacy that everybody knows. And then obviously Chavo Sr., Chavo Classic, had Chavo Jr. So just from Gory, that's all – I mean, think about the amazing – lineage there of Guerreros. And if you need any more proof of how awesome the Guerreros were, Guerrero in Spanish literally means warrior. I don't know how much cooler you have to be to have the last name Guerrero, which literally means warrior.
That's great. Jonathan, even for some fans out there too, I believe it was Eddie's daughter who was in NXT, right?
Yes, Eddie's daughter, Shaw Guerrero. Raquel Diaz, I think, is what her name was in FCW. So that makes her a third-generation diva. I know that she was in NXT for a while and then ended up not competing. I hope she comes back. I thought she was really cool. And a little fun fact maybe most of you don't know, she's actually either engaged or married to, I don't know exactly, Aiden English of the VOD Villains in NXT.
There you go. Jonathan, so, you know, pretty much the members of the Guerrero family have worked for virtually all major wrestling promotions around the world, from, you know, WWE, WCW, ECW, and the NWA, the AWA, New Japan, All Japan, and so on and so forth. TNA, there's more, but I'm just, you know, getting the point out there. Pretty much every organization out there. So that's amazing in itself right there, too.
Yeah, and, you know, this thing is with all of these Guerreros, and sometimes there's a stigma with the family. You know, if you look at the Gagnas or, you know, some of these other families that either had promotions themselves or worked, like the Von Erichs, for example, a lot of people gave them grief because they said that the only reason that all of them won titles is because they were, you know, their dad ran the promotion. Well, this isn't how it happened with Gory. Gory literally made his name as a wrestler, and all of his kids did as well. I mean, so Chavo Sr., like I said, he literally was in WWE at one point. He had a lot of success with his tag team partners, his brothers, Mondo and Hector. He won a ton of different championships in NWA. And, you know, like Mondo and Hector, they were a great tag team in NWA as well. And they all won different championships around the world. And mostly, except for really Eddie was the youngest. So most of those guys were doing this back when the United States and Mexico was still a territorial system. So They weren't all together for the most part. If you look at kind of where they were all at, there were some in California, there were some in Texas. So they really went out and made a name for themselves all over the United States.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's been a bunch of a handful of wrestling families throughout the years. But the Guerreros definitely, you know, outshined a lot of other wrestling families just for, you know, what they've accomplished in their careers. And, you know, it's great to talk about these families, especially the Guerreros today on our Thanksgiving episode, Jonathan. Because, I mean, if we could give thanks to the Guerreros for making, you know, our childhood even so much more brighter than what it was, of just being able to witness these guys in action. Jonathan, do you have any, I don't know, memories of any of the Guerreros growing up, just watching them on TV?
Well, it's one of those things that I really didn't get a chance to learn about the Guerreros until much later in their career. But as I mentioned, Gory, he actually tagged with the legendary El Santo in Mexico. And that's one of the biggest names in Mexican wrestling. And he was, you know, hardcore. I'm telling you, like, if you look back at some of these matches, there were bloodbaths. And I got to watch some of that, and now with the network, you get to go back and watch a lot of this. But, you know, they had legendary fights with Piper. They've had, you know, you name it, a Guerrero has pretty much fought that wrestler. You know, obviously, I was a big fan of Eddie Guerrero. It's a shame that he passed away so young. He still had a lot to give the professional wrestling business. But, you know, I was really... Probably my favorite Guerrero moments were when Eddie and Chavo were together. They had a really good run on SmackDown when they were tag team champions, the Los Guerreros, and they came out in the car, and the whole lie, cheat, and steal thing was just amazing. But, you know, I think all of the Guerreros each shined in their own way, and I think that's very rare for families, because if you look at some of the other wrestling families, not all of them really made it. And the Guerreros can say that they not only made it, but they excelled in pretty much anything they did.
Well, Jonathan, I mean, we could talk a lot about the Guerreros, but, you know, we wanted to get everybody out there to call in, give us maybe some of their memories about the Guerreros on our hotline, which is totally free. It's 802-297-7672. That's 802-AWP-7672, guys, and that's our AWP hotline, and we asked the fans out there to tell us if they had any memories about any of the Guerreros.
What's going on, Credo and JB? She's Angry Cooter, the social assassin. Just called to throw out one of my favorite Guerrero moments. It was Eddie, WrestleMania 20 versus Kurt Angle. Love the finish to that match, where Eddie unties the boot, Angle goes for the ankle lock, and boom! My man, Eddie Guerrero just rolls him up with a 1-2-3. Classic lie, cheat, and steal finish from Eddie Guerrero. Love that one. Have a good one, guys.
Greetings from Middle America, Kansas City. Hey, Credo, JB, another wrestling podcast universe. So legendary woes. Hope everybody's having a happy Thanksgiving. Just calling in to relay a little remembrance on the Guerrero family. Remember back in the old UWF days, and forgive me if it's a little rusty, but that was in early 1987, I believe, when Chavo Classic won or tied a battle royal with his friend, Gorgeous Gary Young, and they won a trophy and $39,000, and Chavo Classic decided that he was going to split that money and the trophy with Gary Young, and Gary Young said, no, you know, we'll wrestle for that trophy and that money, and may the best man win. And unfortunately, Chavo Classic was the best man, which in turn led to Gorgeous Gary Young becoming a heel and attacking Chavo because, as he claimed, Chavo tried to steal his $39,000. Just a fun little memory from way back in the day. Hope everybody has a good holiday. Take care.
This is Stephen Adjemi, and I wanted to speak on the Guerreros, specifically Eddie Guerrero. Just thinking in general, what an underappreciated talent the guy was. And, you know, I feel like he's in that second or third tier of all-time greats that really didn't seem to get the credit he maybe might have been deserved while wrestling. But obviously after he passed away, it seems like everyone's come out and, you know, kind of talked him up, especially somebody like Sasha Banks, who, you know, happened to be in attendance the day after he passed away on the special Raw to him, which has to be quite the experience. So there you go. There's my memories or thoughts on wherever you want to call it on Mr. Eddie Guerrero. Thanks for listening and talk to you guys soon.
Hi, my name is Ryan Stewart, and I'm a wrestling fan from Poughkeepsie, New York. My favorite Guerrero moment is what's known as the Malenko-Guerrero Classic in ECW, I believe 1995. I had not watched wrestling outside of WCW, some of the territories in WWF. I did not know that there were people that could wrestle at the level Bret Hart wrestled. I thought he was the only one. And then I stumbled across MSG Network and saw Malenko versus Guerrero, and my whole perspective of being a wrestling fan changed forever. Thank you, Eddie.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is Steve Cullen calling from New York. I wanted to call to tell you my favorite Guerrero story would certainly be when Hector was the gobbledygooker. I mean, how could you forget that? I always remember watching that night, and I had no idea it was Hector, so I got to thank him for some great memories. Thank you, guys.
This is the CEO, M.E. Wrestling, on Twitter. Just want to let you know about Eddie Guerrero, or as they like to say, Eddie Guerrero. That was horrible. Anyway, let's talk about how powerful this guy has been to the wrestling business, and not just from his talent, not just from his runs as a champion, not just from his Latino heat and his live cheat and steal gimmick. Let's talk about what he did in the back. In the shark-infested waters that is the wrestling business, where everyone's trying to get on top of everyone to make sure they get to the biggest possible stage, he actually elevated people. He actually legitimately elevated people, unlike some other folks we know, and he actually put people in the main event that the company, like WWE, didn't even think belonged there. John Bradshaw Layfield, his character wouldn't even be a main eventer without Eddie Guerrero. And if there's anything else that I would like to say about him, that is the most powerful piece, because he put over people and he believed in people when no one else could and no one else would, especially in the upper brass. So that's what made Eddie Guerrero even more great and more outstanding as one of the greatest of all time. Definitely the greatest worker of all time, arguably, and definitely one of the best performers of all time. Eddie Guerrero, man, rest in peace, rest in power.
Another wrestling podcast would like to welcome right now a man who has been part of the famous family, the Guerreros. He has done nearly everything in his 50-year career, and we are happy to have him on today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Hector Guerrero. Hector, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, everybody who's listening, and I appreciate you joining us today. It's an honor. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, and I just want to wish everybody down there a happy Thanksgiving, and I think, you know, just being a part of the Guerreros, could you maybe describe a Guerrero Thanksgiving to us?
Well, you know, we are from a Mexican descent. That's all of us were born in Mexico City, except for Eddie. Eddie was born in El Paso, Texas, because we had already moved there. Mm-hmm. But he would have been born in Mexico City as well if we would have stayed in Mexico City. But when we would have tamales, we sure would have the turkey because we love turkey, you know, and all the fixings just like in America. But we would add maybe some tamales, some hot sauces here or there. You know, we'd have some tortillas for sure because, you know, that's our food.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, you know, it's no secret that you are a member of arguably one of the greatest wrestling families of all time. What would you attribute to the success and longevity of the Guerrero family?
Well, let me first of all give God the glory because God is who gives us the ability, the breath. He put my dad on that young road when he was young. To be, you know, to become famous, and then when he did, he became a legend in Mexico, and that was all God doing that for him. And then, you know, he had sons and two daughters. My sisters did not pursue the wrestling career, but all four of us did. And it's something that you know, my dad had a lot of input in our lives, even into Eddie. I wish he would have had more input into Chavo Jr., mm-hmm. but Chavo Jr. got it from his dad and Mondo, because Mondo helped train him. Mm-hmm. And Eddie and I helped train him, too, at one time. We got him where we had a chance to, you know, finesse him out, and then Eddie finished him off. What I'm trying to say is finessing him off, and mm-hmm. he's definitely Guerrero material. But it was God. We want to give God the glory, yes. And then after that, I want to say that my dad had very high standards for all of us. He didn't create, my mom says it's pretty good, he made all of us generals. And in the ring, you always have somebody that's either, you know, he's either a general or he's not. But I mean, my general, he'll take hold of the match and he'll know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, you know, some wrestlers grow up around the business of pro wrestling. You were literally born into it. What was your childhood like growing up as a Guerrero?
Well, you know what? We had a wrestling ring in the backyard. We didn't have swings and stuff like that. We had, you know, naturally, I when I was young, I had a go-kart. You know, my dad had let me have a go-kart, which I loved. But, you know, I've always loved cars, and that's been a thing in my past. But I wish I could have some more cars now. everything's what it is.
Sure.
But I loved the fact that my dad would train us. My dad would train us at a very early age. It was a natural thing for him to get us up on Saturdays or, you know, after school sometimes, and he said, "Come on, let's go to the ring and let's go work out." And usually we had everything up on the ring. We'd leave it up, except we'd have a tarp over it, so, you know, in case it didn't rain, because in El Paso it hardly ever rains, mm-hmm. you know. But we would have a tarp on it, and then we'd put the ropes up and make sure we put the mats up and put the canvas on and then get with it. You know, my dad would teach us all the basics. We started from learning how to fall, you know, from learning all the lucha drills. Because he was lucha, because that's where he learned it. Mm-hmm. Then he also had a lot of American style wrestling, because he and other wrestlers, you know, ventured between Mexico and the United States early in their careers. So even as a young baby, I remember being in I would say maybe 3 or 4. I remember being in kindergarten in Kansas. I think it's someplace in Missouri. And then I remember being in Charlotte, North Carolina, when my dad worked for the Crockett promotion. So that was at a very young age. And then I remember being back in Mexico. So my dad had us traveling around with him wherever he went. Mm-hmm. My mother came, and all of us came with him. When he decided to settle down, he settled down in El Paso. So, but I'm getting into the history of the Guerreros, but that's part of the history.
Sure.
My dad had a big influence on all of us, including Chavo Sr., Mondo, myself, and Junior. My mother had a lot of influence into us because my mother was with my dad at all times. My mom can tell you, can look at a wrestling match and can look at a promotion and she can dissect it for you, mm-hmm. and tell you what's wrong with it. Because because we had our own promotions, mm-hmm. back in El Paso, and she lived it. My dad promoted, but we also promoted with him. I was the one that, but Mondo and I, we used to put up the posters for him. Mm-hmm. On El Paso, which we had, we went from being, El Paso used to be on Saturday nights for TV, and then they'd have Tuesday nights. And then my dad decided to take it to Monday nights, and he had very, very good success on Monday nights. So before Raw was ever a big, big show on Monday nights, we were a show in El Paso having great success that God was giving to my dad. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my dad was when I talked to Bob Geigel one time, I was walking with him. He was put his arm around my shoulder. I was about maybe 14 years old, 13 years old. He put his arm around me and he said, "You know, your dad's one of the best promoters in the country." And I looked at him. I didn't say nothing. I keep quiet because he was always talking, and we were learning at all times. My dad told us to always keep quiet, learn, and listen, and we would. But getting into a lot more, I guess, than what I'm should have, I kind of jumped off the subject here. But my God's rule number one, being so gracious on my dad, and then my dad being so diligent with my mother, along with, you know, giving us a godly foundation with Christ in our hearts, Jesus Christ. All of us are Christians, and we believe in Him, and knowing that that promotion comes from God, I believe that's the core of anyone who has success. And then the rigors that my dad put us through, because he was very, very, he was perfect. He was you could never, you know, there was never a you could never do great. You know, I was an amateur. And one time I won in the third round, and, you know, and when I would win by points, he's saying, "Why didn't you pin the guy?" So I pinned the guy one time in the third round, and he comes in and tells me, "Hey, you had him in the second round. What kept you? Why didn't you pin him in the second round?"
Yeah.
And then that happened to me, when I pinned the guy in the second round, then I pinned the guy in the first, and he said, "You should have pinned him in the first round." Then I pinned the guy in the first round one time, and then he says, "Hey, you had him in the first 5-10 seconds. And I said, "Dad," you know, he was always looking to improve us.
Uh-huh.
Not, you know, maybe then we would look at it a little bit, you know, like, oh, man, he's being really rough on us, you know, really hard to please. But you know what? Now I look back and I see everything he instilled in me, how God instilled in him to put into me honesty, being loyal, being truthful, and all these moral circumstances that are right within our, which we don't see in America today now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say it, but it's a big decline in our society. But back then, that's what the Lord, you know, put in my dad, and that's all of us.
Sure.
So that's a long question for you, but
that's
wanted
great.
To go ahead and you know, put a lot of that in.
No, of course. Thank you. Now, do you think it's harder or easier for someone to break into the wrestling business if they are from a wrestling family?
Listen, it might be easier because they look at you and you have the opportunity to go in. But just like it is as easy as it going in, it could be as easy as coming out of it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have the goods, you're out.
Yeah. Sure.
You understand?
Oh, I hear you.
You get
yep.
the opportunity because of that. But if you don't have the goods, you're that quickly out.
Yeah.
And let me give you an example. I'm not going to use any names, but there was another famous family here in Florida. And I'm not going to say any names. I'm just going to say,
sure. Mm-hmm.
When he was given a chance to debut in Championship Wrestling in Florida, and I knew about it. And they were going to give him, he was from a wrestling family, and they said, yeah, they said they're going to give him his shot. And they gave it to him, honest. I gave it to him, you know, right off the bat. And I said, are you going to put him up there right away? And I can't say who it was. Like, I want to keep anonymous and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, he either makes it or he doesn't. And bam, and he walked away.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, whoa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did talk to this individual that was in that position, and the Lord let me help him to get him prepared because I wanted him to make it. You know,
sure.
he was one of my buddies, man. His whole families were my buddies, you know. So just that little understanding gives you a lot. You either have it or you don't.
Sure.
And if you don't have it, then they see it, man, they'll just push you away from it.
Gotcha.
Sometimes they'll give you. Now, if you're in your own promotion, like, you know, your dad's the promoter and your dad's the owner, you know, he's going to keep you there pushing. And there was a company in Nashville, Tennessee that had one of his sons. And I won't, like I said, I'm going to be anonymous on this.
Sure.
Because I don't want to push down. But, you know, the talent wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
He had other talents, very, very talented in playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as wrestling, there was a different talent.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's just sometimes it's something that's inbred. And I think with us, we were inbred by my dad from the very beginning, you know, with us seeing him wrestle on TV. I see Chavo Jr.'s kids. He's got two. He's got two wonderful children. And I've seen them when they're looking at him wrestle. I've seen it in their eyes. And he tells me, "Nah, they're not going to be wrestlers." And I tell him, "Yeah, they're going to be wrestlers." Say, "What do you say to that?" He said, "Because they got the same look we have."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm looking. I see it in their eyes. He said, "They might go a different. They might go, you know, like get a degree, like you know, like some of us did, right? My dad's family, you know. But we'll come back eventually, going to wrestling." Go ahead, man.
Sure. Now, you know, coming from a wrestling royalty, did you personally feel the pressure to be as good or if not better than the other members of your family?
Yeah, that was always there. The other wrestlers would try to even instigate you. Not early in my career, but later as I went through certain territories and met up with, you know, hard times and going through circumstances and this and that, I found out that a lot of wrestlers did that to, you know, to get your puff up your head. Because sometimes they tell you, "Yeah, you're the better of the Guerreros," you know, and it really they're just messing with you, and see if you fall out, you falter, or you know, "Oh yeah, he's really good," and then boom, and all of a sudden they try to put you in a spot position where they're trying to make you fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or you're not good enough for them, so that they can keep their position or they can keep themselves in the spotlight. Bro, there is the wrestling, professional wrestling business is a lot of. My brother told me this one time. He says, "Look, it's a difference between eating steak and hamburger."
Mm-hmm.
I says, "What do you want to eat?" I go, "Well, I want to eat steak."
Mm-hmm.
"Love steak." And he says, "Well, does that give you an understanding?" So even within the family, we had that, and we would protect our positions, and till the very point. But we did that with respect to one another, but still giving each other a hand over someone else.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now,
okay. Did that answer your question?
Oh, of course. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, obviously, your father had a large influence on your wrestling style and career. That withstanding, who were some of the other people who have had a huge impact on your career?
I tell you what, one of the biggest guys that had an impact on my career was Luthes.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment I met him, as I was a young man, I'm talking about maybe 15, 14, 15, 16 years old, I shook his hand. I knew he was a wrestler just by the way he shook his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He conducted himself with dignity as a professional wrestler. He conducted himself as a world heavyweight wrestling champion. He was a guy with dignity. Now, I was in Mexico one time. I'll tell you a little thing about it. And I was in a town called Poza Rica, Veracruz, which is right next to the ocean. It's kind of like a town where they do a lot of oil refinery, but it's in the Gulf of Mexico, real close to the Gulf of Mexico. And we would love to go there because of you know, the people are really reacting good to wrestling. Plus, there was good places to eat seafood there, man. And my cousin and I, we loved to eat. And he was my tag partner. His name was Javier Yanez, and we were tagging Mexico together. And we'd love to go there. So I'm in the dressing room, and maybe you've heard of a wrestler called Black Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was he had an outfit like Spider-Man, but black.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was Ariel. He was so, you know, what we see now with the X Division, he was doing it back then. And I'm talking to you in 1970s, mid-1970s.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was doing all that. So I hear that the bleachers were over the dressing rooms in this arena. It was a circular arena, and the bleachers were over. And anytime something happened in the ring, they'd rumble, and you could rumble the whole thing, you know. So this match has got a lot of rumbling on, right? And I'm going, "Wow, man, who's wrestling?" And I'm thinking it must be a Black Man because of the way his moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was so aerial and acrobatic. He was just way beyond his time. You know, and I'm thinking about him, and I said, "Well, it must be him." So I go outside, and guess who's wrestling, man? It's Lou Thesz wrestling another guy. And Lou had the people going with an arm bar. But the way he was wrestling and how he told the story with his match, and the people were seeing professional, they were seeing wrestling, man.
Hmm.
You understand?
Sure, yeah.
And people were so appreciative of it that every time there was moves that the kid was trying to get away with him, and Lou would do all kind of different maneuvers, but then he'd always take him back to the same hole. Those people were ecstatic.
Wow.
And then I learned a lesson that day. I said, okay, when I go to Mexico, I would try to do all these aerial acrobatic moves, which sometimes I'm not gifted in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I did is I resorted to suplexes and stuff like that, you know, amateur style, and then, which was very different to what they did because I didn't want to do the same thing.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and interesting because when I came to the United States, I did the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I used the aerial, whatever, I'm as much aerial as I could do on my own. So it's good that way because you contrast. And so Lou was a big influence in my life. I could tell you Dory Funk Sr. was a big influence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My God, there are so many of them that gave me a good, you know,
mm-hmm.
good heart to me. Moondog Maine, and I wrestled many, many, many bouts in 1978 at everywhere from the Olympic Auditorium, all over the lower, Southern California and Hollywood Wrestling Office. And he and I were very, even to his death, because he passed away there one
mm-hmm.
night. I was his last wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
It was very heartbreaking for me, you know, that I was his last match.
Mm-hmm.
And I still to the day miss him. He's got a son that he's got in touch with me, and I said some nice things about his dad that he should know, and I think he appreciated that.
Sure.
But there's been so many. Now, I cannot say that besides my dad and my brothers too,
mm-hmm.
I even received input from Eddie at times when I used to wrestle. He'd come and he'd say, hey, have you forgotten this? Have you forgotten that? And blah, blah, blah. And then we'd always look at each other and we'd always tell each other, you know. And he respected me for what I said. I really did that. And mm-hmm. I appreciated it from him because he was younger than me. I give him the respect as being my brother, you know, and not my younger brother, like, you know, try to be his, you know, older all the time and try
sure.
to be superior than him. No, that's not the way life is. You know, just because a person's 10 years, 15 years younger, that doesn't mean they're stupider than you or they're less than you.
Mm-hmm.
If at all, they might even be farther advanced than you are. You know, it's good to listen to them because we learn from everybody.
Definitely. Now, Hector, as a professional wrestler, you got to travel the world, travel around the world, to hone your skills. What were some of the major differences in pro wrestling in Mexico, Japan, and the United States? Was there, you know, one thing that stood out in each?
Yeah, but let me tell you, I was also in Spain.
Okay.
1974, when I was 19 years old, we went. My brother Mondo and I were accepted into a company, Gil Esparza Promotions in Spain, and we went and we wrestled in Spain. And in Spain at that time, in the summertime, which was it was June, July, and August. We spent three and a half months in Spain before coming back to the States. But during that summer, French wrestlers would come in, German wrestlers would come in, South American wrestlers would come in. That's where I met Tito Coppa. He was a big influence in my life. And there was so many people that I learned. Some English guys came in. Barry Douglas. I remembering some of the names that I loved. And guys that, you know, that I listened to and paid attention to me and worked with me and helped me out. We all, you know, when they would see, usually you'll see, if you see talent, you'll work with that talent. And if you see a humility in a person, that wrestler will lend his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that throughout all my career. I've done that. Now I'm doing it as a consulting business, you know,
mm-hmm.
and because I believe that I should be compensated for it in some way or another, and I think all the old timers should should have had some type of a pension for us.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, they never did that for us. You know, and we never you know got together and asked for it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We would have all, you know, I know it would have been tough, but you know, if we would have all done that. Man, maybe I'd be a pensioner right now. I wouldn't have to be doing what I'm doing right now, you know.
Sure.
But I'm cool. You know, I'm a phys ed teacher. You know, still in my years. The only thing about it is my body's got many miles on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, it's not the age I've learned. It's the mileage of the body.
Well, speaking of that, you know, your career spans several decades, and you faced tons of opponents. Without choosing any favorites, though, were there certain people that you loved working with?
Oh, yeah. Listen, anybody in my family I love working with at any time. And we did. And we did that little stint with WCW with Eddie. Oh, man, yeah, man. I also love working with Chris Benoit. Sorry that everything that happened to him it's a bad note for him. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody mentioning his name, but that's probably one of the best athletes and best wrestlers I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, the circumstances that he's involved in his demise, people are going to remember about him.
Yeah.
But that man, that guy, he was the engine in the match, if you understand what I'm trying to tell you.
Sure.
And if your engine wasn't up to his engine, he would eat you up.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious.
Wow.
Eddie was that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Dean Malenko. So his father, Boris Malenko, I had an opportunity to be with him, and him and Bob Roop were in my first Japan tour. And we would work out every morning at the Kyo Plaza in Tokyo. We get up and, you know, go out for a run, and then we do some mat work, and right there, where everybody was checking in, there was a little place on the side over there where there was people sitting down, and then there was we went over there and we stretched out, you know, we worked on some moves, bam. Dean's dad had me doing reverse push-ups and all kind of crazy stuff, which I did. My dad used to make me do those, you know.
Yeah.
And I was used to doing them, you know. Dean, I can imagine Dean and Jordy, because they're so great wrestlers. They both are, man. They're awesome. Both of them are. But I can understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everything goes about, and you learn from everybody.
Sure, definitely.
But the promotions that I did wrestle from, and that I did have an opportunity to go through overseas and this and that, they are very, very different styles.
Mm. Now,
every style is different. I'm sorry.
No, yes, no, definitely. Now, I was going to say, too, in the United States, there are several names that are synonymous with professional wrestling. Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin are practically household names. Who do you consider the biggest stars of all time in the Mexican wrestling tradition?
Well, you got El Santo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Gory Guerrero, because Gory Guerrero was El Santo's partner. But my dad was a name before El Santo, too. So my dad could hold his own against him. Now, Santos got more popular and all that because of the movies he made. He became an icon in Mexico. You know, he would just show up at arenas and they'd pack out.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have him, when we had our promotion in both El Paso and Juarez, which is right the border city for El Paso, because we have promotions on both sides of the border,
mm-hmm.
Juarez would sell out. Every time, and I'm talking about the big bull ring, man.
Mm-hmm.
Big bull ring. And you're
wow.
talking about thousands of people. I don't know what they packed in. And I don't know, you know, there was two bull rings. One was the Plaza Valderas and one was the Plaza Monumental. Plaza Valderas, we had every Sunday. But when El Santo came in, we went to the big one, and that one got packed.
Wow.
And that was the big one.
Yeah.
So, I'm serious. And then in El Paso, he packed in the El Paso Coliseum, which is pretty big. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the only times that I ever saw that pack was when Andre the Giant came to El Paso. So there's, you know, there's a lot of things that I could say about everything that you've been asking me to.
Sure. No worries, yeah. Now, I understand you are a very religious man. What role has religion played in your career as a professional wrestler?
Let me tell you something. I'm not a religious man. Jesus Christ to me is a person, is a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That is not. I don't condone religion. Religion is made by man.
Mm-hmm.
We make these laws, and we think we need to, worship in this way, or we need to hold a meeting, and we need to do it this way every time, or you need to give your money here, you need to do this, because if not, you're not doing it right. No. I'm a person that believes in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Yes, and then everything after that, He is my all.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, you know what? I seek a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
and then I seek a daily communion with him, and I seek to hear from him, you know, and he speaks to me in different ways. You know, sometimes it might be a smile through one of my children because I work at an exceptional student center. Mm-hmm. It might be a smile. I'm their PE coach there, and it might be a smile from them, or it might be a hug from my wife, or a smile from her wife, or it might be, you know, when I'm reading my Bible, he fills me with his Holy Spirit, and I feel he's, it's kind of like a warmth, a chill, but it's so beautiful. It's like being, it's the best high you'll ever feel, but it's love, and it's. And that's what he is, because God is love. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a relationship. And that relationship is what I call, it's not a religion, it's called a lifestyle. It's a 24/7. It's, you're always communing with him, and he'll help you in the littlest things. He'll help you, man. And, you know, and then, but it takes faith, too, you know, because right, sure, now I'm going through some stuff, and all of us that are his are going to go through some stuff, because it teaches us to be humble for what's coming up in the next life.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I just want to say, you know, it is Thanksgiving Day today. You are well-known in the wrestling business as Hector, but you're also, for your portrayal as the infamous Gobbledygooker, which some people did not know, but if you didn't know, now they know. You know, it has morphed into something huge over the years. They even, I think, released a Gobbledygooker t-shirt on the WWE Shop Zone. But what are your thoughts on the Gooker now, that some time has passed, compared to, you know...
I hope I'm going to receive royalties off of that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I hope Vince has been listening to this.
Yep.
That would be nice, you know.
That's it.
If they release the Gobbledygooker, well, I am the original Gobbledygooker. You know what? It was Vince's idea. We knew that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It wasn't a bad idea. It was great. It was for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was done at the wrong place. And it was obvious that it was done at the wrong, because it booed the heck out of it. You know, even as hard as Gene worked with me, because with me, I was used to doing all the flips and everything. But when he got into that ring, the next day I heard from people that were close to him, they said, man, he was black and blue, brother. And because that wasn't what he did, you know. And I had him doing, you know, trying to hit the ropes and trying to do a cartwheel. I mean, he's landing on his side or on his bottom. And Gene was such a great, you know, so, like when I told him, because I, as soon as he put down the mic, I said, Gene, he says, the people ain't liking it. He says, what are we going to do? And then he turned around and says, let's get this thing over, Hector. Come on. And, man, that was, you know, I learned something from him then. My dad never told me, I mean, always told me to always do that, you know. But it was such a negative reaction over the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess some people told me that they were thinking Hulk Hogan would come out, or China, or something like that, something.
Yeah.
But here I come out, and what the heck? As soon as I broke out, they just started booing, man.
Uh-huh.
So I'm listening to all these boos, and I go, well, I better try to get this thing over. And I'm thinking to myself, I got to get it over, so I'm going to have to get it over. But if the more that came out, and, you know, and I'm doing the whole gobble, 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 and doing the legal with Gene,
yeah,
I'm thinking to myself, man, this is going to be a hard one. But if you go back and you look at the tape, I'm going through the sides, and you see some adults booing, or, you know, they're trying to tag me or trying to pull one of my feathers.
Yeah.
But the kids have smiles in their faces.
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't for them. Vince had it right. It was for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever anybody says something to me, I say, you know what? And they say negative, I say, you know what? It was for the kids. It wasn't for you. Excuse me. And I walk away.
Sure.
You know? And when they acknowledge that it was for the kids, that's what it was for, because they got everything else. They got all their heroes in the ring, and, you know, and they had the Hulk Hogan's and everything else, those big names at that time, you know. Oh, gosh. And they were such superstars at that time. But this was for the kids, man. It was for the children.
Yeah, definitely. Now, after you decided to retire from the ring, you made your way down to TNA, where you had an outstanding run as a color commentator. Do you have any favorite memories from your time in TNA?
Let me tell you, I didn't retire. I never retired from the ring. Mm-hmm. I still did independent.
All right.
I did appearances as an independent, wrestled, even up to TNA, until about 3.5 years ago, or 4 years ago it was, I think. Is it, my wife's correcting me, it was about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm,
where I had my last match.
Uh-huh.
Then I and they asked me to do it in TNA, where you know, if I lost or something, or some one of our guys lost, I wouldn't be what do you call it, the LAX manager anymore.
Uh-huh.
So that was the last one of the last matches. Then I went, I had another match in over here in Florida in Naples, and I was in the ring and I was moving around and I could feel the stiffness,
mm-hmm.
very stiff in my knees and my hips, and it's. You know, I started doing this when I was 11 and 12 years old. Remember, I was doing this in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was teaching me how to fall, how to. So I was already taking bumps as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely.
So I've got a lot of mileage on this body. So I told my wife, I said, Penny, I think that's it, honey, for me. I'm not going.
No.
I'm going to do, you know, anything that's related to it. You know, I'll color commentate. You know, the Lord permits me to be an agent. I'll be an agent. I'll promote again. I mean, I've even thought about starting my own promotion, which is, you know, I would know because I know how to do it. Because
mm-hmm.
I've done it. Because,
of course.
You know why? Because I did it with my father, and I know how to start it from scratch.
Exactly.
So, it's just something. But you know what comes to mind? The things of Christ. That always comes first to my mind. And mm-hmm. I say, you know what? The things of the Lord are more important than what the things that I want.
Sure.
And sometimes those things that we want, he wants for us too. And we just have to learn how to balance them and which ones are the ones that he really wants for us. Because the ones that he really wants for us, he's going to bless.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a blessing through that, man, that's the best thing I've learned.
Wow.
Look at how long I stayed with TNA. I stayed eight years with a wonderful cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had our ups and downs and circumstances and certain people in there. But you know what? The owners, the Carters treated me with respect, and Dixie was so sweet to me. And I enjoyed every moment of it. And if they would, you know, if they decide to do it again, I would love to do it again. You know, whatever God would permit me to do. But my trust is in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the one that's taking care of me, and as the Bible says, and I think it's in Isaiah, it says, I'll take care of you even up to your gray old years. Well, I'm already gray.
All right, well, you know, it's maybe a little known fact to most wrestling fans, but like you said before, you know, you're also a licensed teacher, so I have to ask, which is maybe scarier or harder, wrestling or teaching?
It depends, you know. People in wrestling can be very unforgiving. And then the state, because we all work in the state here, and, you know, and happen to be in the state of Florida, and we're employed by the state, if you think about it. So, you know, they have a lot of things that they want us to do, you know, and standards. And then you have the district standards and this and that. Well, all that's fine and dandy, but, you know, what matters most is the kids.
Sure.
And to me, I don't see either hard or any of them are hard.
Okay.
I think what Jesus Christ passed his night, the night they crucified him, the night they beat him up and lashed him, and you know, if you saw the Passion of the Christ,
mm-hmm.
you saw a little bit of what happened to him and understanding what he was so disfigured when they crucified him,
mm-hmm.
that and he never spoke a word. I just admire him for such a sacrifice for us that I, you know, it just humbles me, you know, and to pass anything around in this world, it's nothing to compare to what he did in just in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And then those 6 hours on Calvary, and then finally, you know, giving up the ghost to the Father. But, you know, that's to me, that's admiration. I admire that because, oh my God, can you imagine being lashed where the lashes are taking the skin off your bones?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Now, Hector, you also mentioned earlier, we also saw that you're helping consult aspiring wrestlers as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your consulting?
Yeah. Let me tell you. My consulting, you can go to my website. It's mm-hmm. www.hectorwrestlingguerrero.com.
Mm-hmm.
And get a hold of me through there. And I got really, really more than 50 years of experience, but I say 50 years, about 50 plus years, because all the time that I spend in the ring and learning all the basics and learning everything that I did. But, you know, it just doesn't come from basics. And it also comes all the years that I had in the ring. And then from all the expertise that I received, from all the inputs of all the guys that I wrestled and all the guys that tutored me.
Sure.
And the names that I gave you, you know, are just some. I just so many. You know, I'm talking to you guys like Red Bastien, you know, guys that are famous and you know, because they knew my father, they'd sit down with you and then they'd critique your match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got a lot of that, you know. And but they received from me back too, because they were promoting and they were getting the best, and they received from the arena that people that pulled in at that time. So it was all, it's give and take, you know. It's not always, I'm sorry, but nowadays wrestlers, man, they want everything. They want everything for free. So I'm a little disappointed sometimes with the consulting business that I'm doing, because, you know, a lot of them want it, but, you know, they don't want you to have anything. You know, they want it all for themselves, and then they still want you. I had one guy even demand it from me one time, and I looked at him and I smiled. I said, I don't have to do it. Yeah, it's your responsibility. I go, it's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my responsibility. If you want it, you know, you got to share.
Sure.
And usually a little percentage, that would be nice, you know. We don't have a pension plan. We don't do anything. But if you could get yourself about 4 or 5 or maybe 10 guys that are, you know, and then you're getting maybe, what, 3%, 4% of what they're making, man, you're talking, you know, that helps you out.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? It helps you in your living.
Yep. And now, what would you say is the most important lesson for someone breaking into the business today? What's the most important thing that they should know?
I think the most important thing they should know first is God. If they have God, God's going to take them to their height. And it's, they're supposed to be in there in the first place. Because one place is, one thing is where you're supposed to be, and one thing is where you're not. And if you're not supposed to be where, you know, where you're like, you're not, that's not your lot, you know, that's not your calling, wow, man, that's, you missed it in life. But if it is your calling and God's permitting you, because God also gives you the desires of your heart, it tells you in Psalms, you know, mm-hmm. that if you delight yourself in Him and you make yourself moldable to Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So with me, He gave me the desires of my heart in my youth, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it, I have to always say that, you know, it's because of His anointing that I was able to do a lot of things that I did in the ring, you know.
Definitely.
And I knew that the expertise and the finesse that went about in our matches of all the Guerreros had a lot to do with God first, and then that God made a person like Gory Guerrero have sons and then be so picky on them, like kind of like King David was on Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story about that Adonijah, which was Solomon's other son, would get away with everything, and Solomon, he couldn't get away with nothing. He's upset because David wouldn't let him get away with nothing. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
He would, you know, he kept him to his word. He kept him to his morality. And then, but look who ended up taking over the kingdom. It wasn't Adonijah or the other brothers. It was Solomon. Solomon ended up taking over the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of like the story of the Guerreros, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, you know, not letting you get away with this, you did that. He was very picky. You went into that headlock in the wrong position. He said, well, why did you slam him there? Were you protecting him? Because that's one thing you learn. You learn to protect your wrestler because he's your tool.
Yeah.
If you don't protect him, and he, like, let's say you and I were wrestling the next 5 nights mm-hmm. in different towns all over the United States.
Yeah.
And you and I went out and we wrestled tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, by some means, stupidity or not taking care of you, you got hurt.
Yeah.
You understand? Now you're not working for the next 5 nights because you're hurt, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, and if we substitute you, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be the same draw. And then it wouldn't be, you know, sometimes they substitute the match, and then they say, okay, you know, we're going to cancel the match. So now not only have you hurt him, you've hurt yourself too. Plus the other guy started looking at you a little weird, like, hey, you know, we're here to compete, but we're here to entertain too.
Definitely.
And so it's called professional wrestling. It's an entertainment sport. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's an entertainment sport. But it's very real, very real. All the hits and all that, that's it. It's very real. I can show you my body. Anybody tell me, hey. I say, well, come on, let's go get in the ring. You know, it's a whole different story. They have no clue what they're saying.
Definitely. Now, Hector, I mean, it's been a blast today being able to talk to you. It's been an honor. I appreciate your time for today. One more time, where can people find out about Hector Guerrero and keep up with you today? What's the website again?
Okay, well, my website is www.hectorwrestlingguerrero.com. And let me tell you how to spell Hector, H-E-C-T-O-R, and then put wrestling, W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. And then my last name is Guerrero. It's G-U-E-R-R-E-R-O.com. Or just put Hector Guerrero on, and it should. I'm probably one of the first ones that comes up. Because there's other Hector Guerreros. There's a Hector Guerrero that's a singer. And another guy, I don't know who he is, but I know that that I'm the wrestler. So there's only one Hector Guerrero wrestler, thank God. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna start doing something.
Yep.
My short name is Echo, E-C-O. My whole family calls me that, Echo.
All right.
So I've been thinking of changing and making Hector Echo Guerrero.
There you go.
What do you think?
Hey, we broke the news today. You know, it's great. Well, yeah, it sounds good though. It's catchy.
Yeah, you know what? My wife gave me the thumbs down.
All right. Well, the wife doesn't like it. We can't do it then. So,
Steve, it's been great talking. Let me say to all the beautiful fans that are listening to here, hey, thank you so much for listening on Steve. And anytime he's around, please make sure you check him out. And for me, as this Guerrero, I want to thank you that God has given me the opportunity to share and everything that I have in life. And thank you. If there's anything that I could maybe, you know, share with you about Jesus or like that, I would love to. And like I said, it's not a religion. It's a way of life, and it's a relationship. And that's what it is for me.
Once again, guys, please tweet us at @AWrestlingPod, @AWrestlingPod. Tell us any of your thoughts about the show today, what we've done so far, any of the guests. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we'll read them on future shows. All right, Jonathan, and yes, we're talking about the Guerreros today. We're not going to get too in-depth into it because we don't want to talk your ears off about it, but, you know, a basic conversation about, you know, the Guerreros. Jonathan, one thing growing up, I didn't know too much about their history as a young mark. I was watching, you know, wrestling. I first saw Eddie Guerrero on ECW TV with the, you know, the famous match with Dean Malenko in 1995. Do you remember this match? You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. You can't really forget this match because in ECW, it had become known for this kind of hardcore counterculture movement. And there you had Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero, who weren't going out there and hitting each other with chairs or barbed wire bats or anything like that. They were just wrestling. And it's the weirdest thing. It would almost be like if, you know, you were at a hardcore rock band, like if you were at one of those shows and all of a sudden, you know, this is a very bad analogy, but like, you know, Michael Bolton came out, everybody just like stopped. And then the Guerrero and Malenko rivalry started, and it just opened everybody's eyes to, like, actual pure wrestling. And that hardcore, rabid ECW group that went there and watched these shows just ate it up, and it really put a new spotlight on this type of professional wrestling.
Yeah, it definitely opened the door. I mean, compared to what WWE is doing at the time and WCW, because pretty much WCW snagged Eddie and Malenko and Rey Mysterio not too long after this. So they definitely opened the eyes to a lot of American fans up here to where, you know, at one point we had wrestling with Doink the Clown and Duke the Dumpsters and stuff like that to where, you know, it was a lot of character-driven. And, you know, these guys came in with their names. They didn't need a silly outfit or a silly name or whatever. They gave us pro wrestling, and, you know, that's what people got hooked on. And, you know, hey, it's that door, like you just said, you know, it's the door that opened up, you know, everybody's eyes to, like, wow. This could be really awesome up here, you know. And it was definitely, you know, I think there's other little milestones, but I would say this was definitely a big milestone for professional wrestling and what we see today.
Yeah, and you know, I think one thing that has to be said about the Guerreros is if you look at the actual size of most of the Guerreros, they weren't huge. You know, they were, you know, almost, I would say, common every man size. You know, you look at the Von Erichs, a lot of them, like Kerry Von Erich, was huge, and, you know, Kevin wasn't huge, but there was at least a few of the Von Erichs that were just really big guys. And the Guerreros got their name by just being amazing professional wrestlers. So it wasn't surprising when they all started to kind of make their way up through the ranks and end up in the major companies. And what is cool is you talked about Eddie being in ECW, and even though it was the WWE ECW at the time, Chavo actually ended up winning the ECW championship, which I think is kind of cool. It's one of those full circle things. But
yeah. Well, definitely, Jonathan. I mean, that's just a little tidbit of memories for Guerreros for us. I mean, once again, guys, you know, head on over to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. Tweet us, Facebook us. Let us know your thoughts about the Guerreros. We want to hear from you and what you have to think about them too, right?
We just recently spoke with Chavo Guerrero, so you can go back and listen to that interview as well.
All right, Jonathan. We talked a lot about the Guerreros today. Not as much as we could, but, you know, we don't want to talk your ear off. This isn't a three-hour book on tape. We're just trying to, you know, get your reaction out there. So please head on over to AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us, rate and review our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Player FM, on TuneIn, all those great stations. Guys, we're everywhere. Just Google us. You'll find us. And we want to hear from you. Please comment, tweet us, all that fun stuff. And we'll respond to get back to you, Jonathan, right?
Absolutely. And once again, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners out there. And at the end of the day, we really are thankful for you and all of our listeners.